The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Friday, February 4th, and we are closing out our week of podcasting. I know it's early. We typically don't come on here this time of day, but we had a little bit of a time slot that we could squeeze in today. Plus, this gives an opportunity for individuals that generally don't are not able to come on during this our regular time to come on maybe on this slot of time. So we kind of like changing it up a little bit. So we want to welcome you to the broadcast today. Again, I'm Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, the voice of End Time Headlines. And if you're new to the broadcast, this is your first time, or maybe you're joining us again, we welcome you to the broadcast on this Friday morning. Again, let us know in the comment section below where you guys are joining us from. And of course, if you're new, let us know in the comment section below that you are indeed new to the broadcast. Want to give you some real quick before we get started on this thing. Don't forget to download our free app. If you're watching by Facebook Live right now, you can find the description of this in the, or you can find the link to this in the description there below this message here on Facebook. You can get our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. It's free to download. Don't forget it. Get it today. Get it after this broadcast. Or if you're watching the rebroadcast this, you can get that as soon as you're done as well. Again, just type in End Time Headlines in your Play Store, depending on what device you've got. You're going to see our official ETH logo. You're going to get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our podcast that will be right there available to you to be able to watch or listen at your leisure. So let's get started on this thing. This is an interesting headline. I'm going to pull this up because this is kind of going in a direction we're going today, but this is very interesting to me. This is an actual headline from the Washington Post. And right there below, you can read the comment or the headline. It said, quote, Facebook's dream of connecting the whole world is dead. Guys, you can't make this stuff up. Now you say, what? Now, obviously, this is referring to Zuckerberg's very bad day that he had yesterday, where his, him and his company took over a $200 billion loss, which actually turned out to be the largest in market history. And I'll give you some reasons why that is, or at least what the narrative is telling us the reasons are, but I'm going to tell you why I believe it is. But this headline really got me. Facebook's dream of connecting the whole world is dead. Now, we told you the direction that Zuckerberg is taking Facebook is metaverse. Meta. It comes from two words, meta and verse. And I told you the word in Hebrew, meta, meta means dead. So this is almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy for Facebook.
Almost $200 billion has been wiped off the value of Facebook's parent company after it reported a drop in user numbers for the first time. The social media giant is facing increasing competition from the likes of TikTok. Well, our business editor, Stephen Carroll, is here with more. Stephen, what happened to spook investors?
It was a small change in a very important number that sent that ripple through the markets. For the first time in its 18-year history, the number of people logging into Facebook on a daily basis actually fell. The change between September and December of last year wasn't that large in the overall context, only around 500,000 lower from the between September and December. We're still talking about almost 2 billion people logging into Facebook every day. But it's raising questions over the social media giant's future growth, whether it's stalled, whether perhaps it might be heading into a decline. Now, Facebook's parent company, Meta, also owns Instagram, WhatsApp and Messenger. Across all of those apps, there was a slight increase in the number of people using them daily over that period. But nonetheless, investors very unhappy with these results. Shares in Meta down by almost 20%, over 20% in after hours trading in New York. If that slump is confirmed when Wall Street opens later, it wipes $200 billion almost off the value of the company for Mark Zuckerberg himself, Facebook CEO and founder. That's about $24 billion off his personal wealth.
And Stephen, why has the reaction been so dramatic?
Look, Facebook is the biggest social media platform in the world, so there's a lot of attention on how much it's able to grow, given that it's had this huge record of expansion over its history. If you compare it to the likes of Twitter or Snapchat, Facebook's daily numbers are still much, much higher. It's still clearly the biggest player in this space. We're talking around 2 billion people for Facebook versus around 200 million for Twitter and around 300 million for Snapchat. But the rival that Mark Zuckerberg and his team are really keeping an eye on is TikTok. The Chinese-owned app announced last year that it had reached 1 billion monthly active users. They don't give daily figures, so the monthly comparable figure for Facebook is almost 3 billion. So clearly, Facebook's still very much dominating in that space. But Instagram is a much closer rival to TikTok because of the short videos that can be used on both platforms. Meta doesn't officially report figures for TikTok. There were reports at the end of last year they were around 2 billion monthly active users. But it's the growth of TikTok that's worrying Facebook, and particularly the demographic of people who are using it. It has a much younger audience, and that's something that Facebook or Meta really wants to make sure that they're keeping a hold of as well. In a call with investors after these results were published, Mark Zuckerberg mentioned TikTok 5 times. He said that people have a lot of choices about how they want to spend their time, and apps like TikTok are growing very quickly. That's why their focus on Reels, which are the short videos on Instagram, is so important over the long term. This is the first time in Facebook's history that it's had such a large and fast-growing rival to one of its products, so it's a really new challenge for them.
But has the wheels finally stopped turning? According to a report yesterday, again, Facebook took a huge blow in the market, over $200+ billion loss, and it was reported that there was a multi reasons why they explained why this happened. For example, they blamed TikTok for its influence in pulling people away from the traditional Facebook. They blamed, but we also know that there's reports saying that there's been a large influx of individuals that have left Facebook. Now, are they going to TikTok or are they going to alternative social media outlets? So again, we can get a whole list of what I call a bunch of baloney of why Facebook is this and why it took the loss. And they're going to explain all this way through this and that. But let me give you why I think is what's going on. I believe they are now reaping what they've sowed. If you think that you're going to continue, if you think that you can continue to keep censoring people, shadow banning people, removing people from your platform, anybody and everyone who has a different voice, a different narrative, a different opinion than the mainstream media or the voices of the narrative that is constantly touting what they're saying, it all sounds the same across the platform. And if you buck against the system or say anything like this, you're ousted. That could be the reason. So you can blame TikTok and you can blame all this other stuff, but I believe if we get down to the real logistics of what's going on, I believe people are fed up. People are done with censorship. People are done with the totalitarianism and the control. And they are looking to greener plains of places that are not hovering over them and constantly labeling everything they label as spam or missing context or being harassed by independent fact checkers. But they're doing here, at least here in America, what we were given as rights to our Constitution. That's the freedom of speech. Hey, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this is because of TikTok. But I have a hunch that that's not the case. But this is not really what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about where Facebook is going. You've guys have heard me talk about this. I've talked about this multiple segments, and I have a feeling this won't be my last time talking about this. But I've said from day one that I don't like metaverse. Just the name itself means, again, meta means dead. The very origin of this thing is just creepy in itself. removing people from reality and putting them into a virtual world of a facade, something that's artificial, that's fake. And I'm blown away by the number of, I'm not really surprised that younger people are jumping on board with this, but I am stunned and shocked that corporations are jumping on board with this. Real estate companies are jumping on board with this. Retail companies are jumping on board with this. This is what's got me stunned. I mean, is there really that large of a market for this that these companies and these CEOs are willing to throw, to shove it all in? I mean, Zuckerberg alone has invested over $10 billion in metaverse. And according to one article I read, that's just just scratching the surface of what he himself is willing to pump into this machine, into this new era of reality. But I've said from day one, keep an eye on this thing because I think it's dark. I think it's sinister. And of course, I've been met with opposition, ridicule, laughter, heckling, scoffing, and the list goes on. Been called a hypocrite because I'm on Facebook already. But let me clarify something here. Just look, Facebook in itself was created to be what? A social media, or a place where people can socialize on the media through dialogue like we're doing right here, communicating with each other. But when you enter into the realm of virtual reality, you're moving beyond reality and into a virtual, artificial, superficial world. You're interacting with people with a machine hooked to your face. And you are experiencing things that your brain is telling you is real, but is not real. Again, it's an augmented reality. That is totally different than social media. You getting on, having a social media group or a chat group or a page, and you're communicating with each other, you're fellowshipping with people, you're getting to know people, you're communicating, you're exchanging phone numbers, you're exchanging conversations with, you're getting to know with each other. That, to me, that is a total different ball game than this metaverse is. And listen, I get it. And some people's going to say, no, there's no distinction. It's the same. It's one and the same. And we could sit here and agree to disagree. But here's the deal. There is already things happening that I predicted and said it's only going to get worse. For example, this made headways a while back, but it's it has resurfaced again. One mother alleged that she was virtually groped. She said, quote, gang raped within 60 seconds of entering the metaverse. Let me just read. This is from Newsweek.com. A British mother recently came forward with accusations that she was virtually groped during an attack by 3 to 4 male avatars inside metaverse. Nina Jane Patel, 43 years of age, wrote in a blog post that was again published by UK affiliate and then was republished again by Newsweek, who's reporting this back in December, that within 60 seconds of joining a lobby inside the metaverse created by Meta, again, death, formerly known as Facebook, she was verbally and sexually harassed by a group of male avatars. In the post, the mother of four recounted watching, listen to this, watching her avatar get groped and virtually gang raped. She remembered it being so horrible that she was unable to react fast enough. Patel claimed the avatars touched her avatars, her avatar, sorry, what she said resembled her in real life inappropriately while they took pictures and made crude comments. Now, we shared this on our main website, End Time Headlines, and we shared it here on our Facebook page. And there was people in the comment section that was laughing at this woman. This is where we are today. They were laughing at this woman and saying, calling her an idiot and calling her all kinds of names and saying, don't you know that you could have just threw off the goggles and it would have been that? You're missing the point. Let me say it again. You're missing the point. Let me talk to all the fathers. Let me talk to all you mothers, since this was a mother. How would you like if your daughter got into one of these, planes, groups, whatever, in metaverse, with her goggles on and her whole setup, and this was her that got sexually assaulted? This was your daughter that got gang raped. You're telling me you'd be okay with that? You're telling me you would laugh at her and you would ridicule her and call her an idiot and call her a dummy and say, well, you could have just pulled your goggles off and called it a day. Are you kidding me? Are we really that dumb? Listen, it's kind of like the man who was going door to door evangelizing in Alabama, in Montgomery, Alabama. You remember this story? We posted about this last week. He was going door to door and he was evangelizing street ministry. And he was murdered, shot and killed, martyred. I would say martyred. Yes, martyrism has come to America. He was shot and killed by, I believe it was a 17-year-old boy here in America. And of course, news media outlets ran with the story. They posted it. And under the comment section of that on Facebook was stunning and shocking. And Instagram and Reddit and other places where individuals was on social media saying, well, this is what he gets for not minding his own business. That's what he gets. And he should have kept his religion to himself. And that wouldn't have happened. He should have not been trespassing. Really? Now, look, I understand. I got people that come knocking on my door and it's a nuisance sometimes. It's an aggravation. It's inconvenience. It's a hassle sometimes. And sometimes there's people you already know when you see them coming, you already know what you're going to get yourself into. So here's an idea. Just don't answer the door. But really, killing someone? As if that's not sinister enough and dark enough now, but it's the response to the act. When people are beginning to say things like they're saying, again, the love of many is waxing cold. And therefore, we don't even recognize evil when it's in our face. Isaiah said the day would come when good would be called evil and evil would be called good. Then it gets even more weird, guys. Metaverse mortgages are being issued to buy virtual land. What?
Imagine a world where you can visit an art gallery, get a tarot reading, watch a dog show, and take part in a Halloween treasure hunt, all while sitting at your desk. Sure, that seems feasible. Now imagine someone paying a lot of money, say $6,000, for just one of these 16 by 16 meter squares of this world. Well, now, hold on a minute. This is Decentraland, a virtual city home to 90,000 parcels of land that are growing in value by the minute. It's just one of many metaverses you can visit to buy, sell, or just come along for the ride. And we're talking about real money here. The Ethereum blockchain, host of Decentraland, settled $2.5 trillion worth of transactions in the second quarter of 2021, about the same as Visa. Virtual real estate is looking more and more like the next frontier for digital ownership. Its technology has the potential to shift the global economy into a new age of decentralized finance. And now that we've begun, there's no going back. To truly understand, I knew I had to visit Decentraland myself. But first, I needed some guidance. Lastrom is a developer at Decentraland, and he's going to keep his face concealed for privacy reasons. Hey, Lastrom.
Hey, how are ya?
So, Lastrom, what is Decentraland?
Decentraland is a metaverse. Metaverses have existed before. We play Grand Theft Auto 5 online. That is sort of a metaverse.
It was made public in 2020 by Argentinians Ari Malik and Esteban Ordano, who wanted to build a virtual reality experience owned by its inhabitants. No big corporation pulling the strings. The world's inhabitants are contributing to the content and experience, and in turn, helping drive up the value of Decentraland's cryptocurrency.
So cryptocurrency is both a digital asset that can be used to trade for value, but also be held to increase its own value. So it's a mix between a currency and a stock, let's say.
Cryptocurrency uses a decentralized system to verify transactions and keep records. Think Bitcoin or Ethereum or, yes, Dogecoin.
And so, for instance, with Decentraland, they have their own currency called Mana. And I can hold that Mana like a stock, and it can appreciate in value significantly. Or I can use that currency in world to purchase unique items.
So how are people making money in Decentraland?
So it's called non-fungible token, meaning there's only one of them, it's unique, and it's digital.
Right, because each NFT is unique, they're not interchangeable, unlike a dollar bill, for example.
With these digital assets, these digital ownerships, people are providing utility, being able to utilize that ownership for certain things.
In Decentraland, people are buying and selling NFTs in the form of art, music, digital apparel called wearables, and yes, land. People are using real money through Mana to buy, sell, and rent digital land. Land is separated into 90,256 square meter parcels. Each parcel is its own verified NFT, meaning it's completely unique and can't be duplicated, just like land in the real world.
You own the land, that's an actual NFT, and that gives you rights to build whatever you want on your land, or to provide access or denial to anybody on your land. I don't have to go through the title office or the normal ways of selling land. I just put it on the marketplace and digitally swap it. It's very simple. You know, today this is blank, and in 1 hour, this could be a skyscraper. The person doesn't need to go through all of the city planning, the physical limitations in the real world. Their imagination can control what they can put on here.
On this land, owners can build businesses that offer something to buy or rent, or just store the NFTs they've purchased. For example, I buy a parcel of land for, say, 3,000 mana, just over $2,000. Let's say I build a gallery to showcase some NFT art. Artists could promote their work, and curious visitors make my land more popular, which, in Decentraland, makes it more profitable. Kind of like living in a trendy, desirable neighborhood in the physical world. Decentraland really does feel like a typical virtual role-playing game. You can tell the developers were inspired by games like Second Life and Minecraft. Developers encourage active participation in Decentraland, and that translates directly to higher land value. And it's not just individuals that are investing in the community. Playboy hosted a Miami Beach-themed art exhibit, Atari partnered with Decentraland to open a virtual casino, and the digital real estate investment firm, Republic Realm, made news earlier this year for making the largest ever purchase of NFT land. Nearly $1 million for the equivalent of 16 acres of land for a virtual mall. This is why virtual land here is valued so high, or at all for that matter. As long as there are people using this world as a domain for the creation, purchase, and sale of NFTs, the land will hold value. At the beginning of 2021, Decentraland's daily active user average was around 1,500. By March, it was at 10,000. And this is just one of many metaverses attracting the attention of big tech companies. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has announced that Facebook will become a metaverse company, calling it the successor to the mobile internet.
It's quickly expanding beyond games into a bunch of other use cases, and we think that this is eventually going to be a big part of the next major computing platform after after phones and after PCs. It's not like computers are going away or phones are going away, but I think that this has the potential to be something at that scale of importance in the world.
Lastrom believes each metaverse can coexist as if they were different countries, where users will be able to visit each metaverse to experience their unique benefits.
I truly, truly hope and have a desire to push this platform to be the oasis from Ready Player One. Hopefully not the real world replication where it's all gone to south and we're all living on top of each other in the stacks, but at least the immersion and experience that an online space can provide.
As Ready Player One's protagonist Parsifal puts it,
people come to the Oasis for all the things they can do, but they stay because of all the things they can be.
It's a really cool flip of the script where the users own everything and the users create everything and the users decide where this goes. Decentraland has a capability to be what the internet should be.
Thanks for the tour, Lastrum. And now for the million Dogecoin question. What's the catch? Well, for starters, let's look at energy consumption. At the moment, just one Ethereum transaction uses the same amount of electricity that the average US household uses over 5 days. Thankfully, it's something Ethereum's team is working on solving. Then there are some familiar problems that plague our real-world economy. People look for ways to hack and game the system, launder money, or fill it with microtransactions.
In the cyberspace, now becoming the metaverse, we are bringing very similar risks along, but they are getting more amplified because of this unknown, uncharted territory.
This is Kavya Perlman, founder of the nonprofit XR Safety Initiative, which sets privacy, security, and ethical standards for immersive technology. She's got some concerns about all this.
There is no framework, no security, safety, or privacy framework that addresses these things. There are no laws even. If we don't proactively understand this, then we are really just experimenting.
Then there's privacy.
Every time you're connecting, creating, or doing commerce, we need to be sure of what is going on with all of this data. Every time the data exchanges hands, let's say it goes from the headset to another server or another third party, another developer who has a third party app, we're giving all this sophisticated data to these folks.
If you were to buy some land in Decentraland, only to have a big tech company CEO peeking over the fence to keep an eye on your activity, the corporate free paradise may need to revise some of its privacy rules and regulations. At the moment, metaverses are largely community-run, with decisions made through a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization. Users vote on policies that shape their virtual world, from what kinds of wearable items are allowed, to upgrades to land and estate features, right down to the date of future land auctions. But in the face of serious digital crimes, a DAO can only do so much.
This is the new and exciting economy, guys. And I'm getting ready to show you, because I know y'all hopped on here for this, because this was our main topic today, but I'm getting ready to show you the new and exciting church and where we could be heading. And I've warned about this, and now we're seeing it. The metaverse mortgage comes as sales of virtual property exploded last year. By one estimate, sales exceeded $500 million in 2021. I got a phone call from an individual probably 2 or 3 weeks ago and said that he's in real estate, and he said he knows a people personally that have been selling mortgages on Metaverse. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. What's the point? Again, there is things that these people know that we don't know as average individuals. We laugh at this. We think it's a flop. And guys, I'm telling you, I was one of them. And I said this, what was this? I want to say it was Wednesday. I talked about this because I'm big into home theater. I like home theater stuff. I've always been big into that. You remember when the televisions came out with the 3D technology? And this was marketed on all the new televisions. Every one of the televisions came out. This is when high definition came out, when it was 1080p was the highest resolution you get. It was 720p, which is mainly sports and stuff like that. Then you had 1080p, which is mainly Blu-ray technology through movies and disc and stuff like that. That was back when. And anyway, I don't want to bore you with all that technology, but the point is, when they created this technology, then they came out with the 3D glasses or the 3D TVs, and you had to wear you would buy a TV and it would come with 3D glasses that you had to put on your face so that you could buy a Blu-ray disc that was 3D and put this stupid glasses on your face. Listen, I wear glasses for a living. The last thing I want to do is put something else on my face. I'm just saying. And I knew from that alone that this wasn't going to last and it was going to flop. And I told the home theater guys back when Circuit City was still around, if y'all remember Circuit City, and then there was what was a company called H.H. Gregg, and there was Best Buy, which is still around. I don't know if they'll be around much longer, but I remember I would go and I would talk to these guys in home theater, and I said, do you guys think that this is actually going to stick around? Because I don't. Oh, yes, it's going to be here to stay. This is going to be the new thing. Everybody's going to have it. I said, I don't see it happening because I would explain to them, you know, again, I personally don't want this garbage on my face all the time. It's going to get, oh, and not only that, but when you go to see a movie, if you've ever went and seen a movie in 3D, I mean, if you're like me, I've got astigmatism in both eyes. So light, my eye receives light and interprets it differently when you have astigmatism than normal individuals. So when I put these 3D glasses on, I can only go about 30 minutes tops, and I start getting headaches and eye strain and all kinds of stuff. And I just want to throw the things in the garbage. I said, nope, this ain't going to work. So I thought that maybe this would be the concept with metaverse. This, you know, who in the world is going to want to put these goofy things on your face and sit in your living room, sit on your couch, sit in your basement, sit in your office, and put this garbage on your face and spend hours on end? But guess what? I could be wrong, and it looks like I am, because people are jumping headlong into this. But again, but the climate and the times that we are in now in 2022 is a whole lot different than back in, 2008, whenever that technology came out. We're in a whole different playing field. So it's intriguing. It's amazing. It's stunning. I can't even articulate the words. But now let me get to, we've covered this on our first half of this broadcast. Now let me shift gears and move to what you guys wanted to talk about. And that is this. Now, here's some headlines. This has all made headway. I warned about this weeks ago, probably a month ago. When Metaverse come out, I sat down with pastors. I talked to them on the phone. I've talked to members of our congregation, of our church here locally in Georgia. And I remember I sat down with my pastor personally. We sat down together and had lunch, and I said, look, I said, brother, listen, I said, I'm very disturbed and concerned about the direction that the church as we know it. Now, let me clarify this. We know the true ecclesia, the church, is the people, that's the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, the chosen ones, the ones that are blood bought, born again, spirit filled believers. That is the church, yes. But the face, the wineskin, the format, whatever you want, whatever verbiage or terminology or language you want to give it, but what we understand and what we have known as the church for years, I believe, is changing rapidly. And I said that Metaverse is going to change this completely. And here we are. Quote, God has entered the Metaverse, and faith in the virtual world is flourishing. Quote, why a growing number of Americans are choosing to worship in virtual reality. Quote, virtual reality church worshiping in the Metaverse.
All right. Want to say hello to those watching on Twitch. How's it going? Good to see you.
But that's the point of the Metaverse church that we are. as if they are Mormon, they're welcome. If they are Jehovah's Witness, they're absolutely welcome.
Over the year 2016, it's people started at 10. In 2017, more people showed up. Other people who identified with faith said, hey, I want to help out and volunteer. And so there was like this epiphany where we were like, oh, wait a minute, we have this. I think we just planted a church. We started a church. We have all the functions of how you would think a physical church or how we would define physical church. We're expressing that here in the metaverse. Wandering, if you don't mind reading 4-6 for me.
How important is your faith, your spirituality to you, and what did you get out of it today? Well, what surprised you? What did you like or disliked?
I gotta commend whoever set up this world. They have three-dimensional illustrations. So they set up verses all over, and they set up three-dimensional illustrations for the verses. And so as I was able to go and read the verses, like especially these buildings over here, I was able to see a rendering of the verse I was reading, which made scripture much more meaningful for me.
Yeah, I believe the future of the church is the metaverse. I think there's many reasons, but one of them is because it reaches people who can't physically go to church.
When you become chronically ill and you can no longer participate in what everybody else is doing, slowly but surely, you know, people fall away. So it's been just myself, my husband, and our cats until I found Virtual Reality Church.
I baptize you, Daisy Petals, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So Daisy,
suddenly you're empowered again. Suddenly you matter again. Suddenly you're human again. Suddenly it just feels like you could do anything in the world again, where you were just told over and over and over again you couldn't do anything.
I baptize now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
You know, theological reflections is like our bodies matter in part because God came in human form and showed great compassion and empathy for the embodied human. And so as we meet more and more in digital spaces, what are the implications for that? Even, you know, Jesus says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. And Christian theologians have not yet grappled with what that means in when they're gathered in digital spaces.
Find even in this moment a sense of being alive.
So many congregations, and this is all denominations, religions, they think the building matters. They think that the church is the building, or the mosque is the building, or the temple is the building. It's the people. It's the stuff you do together. It's the way you change the world together that is the church or the temple or the mosque or the synagogue. And so we don't have that illusion.
Each avatar represents a real person with a real story. So it's not the the pink-haired, you know, puffy jacket that you're talking to. You're talking to an individual, and we're really connecting our spirits in our relationship. It's just a wild what we can do now. I can't imagine in 8 years what it's going to look like.
Because I believe the virus, y'all know what I'm talking about. I believe the virus was the thing that separated many wheat from tares and sheep from goat. Listen, people that were looking for excuses not to go to church, not to worship, not to serve God, not to get in the word, not to show up for prayer, they were going to be the first ones picked off. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying. This does not count for the people that are very elderly or have underlying conditions or that are sick and that, for example, cancers and whatnot, that they're at high risk. We are not talking about them. I'm talking about strong, healthy, come on, individuals that they were already falling by the wayside. They were coming one Sunday a month, or one Wednesday, or they hardly ever showed up for prayer, or you couldn't get them to your small group. You couldn't get them into this. Could you, where are they at? Where'd they go? All of a sudden you discover they're not going to church anymore. And they use this as an opportunity to further slide back. Yes, I believe in backsliding. And then next thing you know, you find out that not only are they not going to church anymore, they're not even serving God anymore. You can't even get a hold of them. You can't reach them. And they're back into their lifestyles that they were in before they got saved. And it all started with a little compromise here and a little compromise there. Then you got individuals that say, why do I need to go to church when I can watch? Listen, and I know this is going to sound like an oxymoron because we are talking to people online. And again, but this doesn't meet everybody. This doesn't hit home for every single individual. And you've heard me say, listen, you know how many pastors have that don't like me? And they've told their members of their church not to listen to me because they accuse me of pulling people out of their church. I'm like, are you serious? We're not a brick and mortar church. This is the platform that God's called us to, because there's individuals that are listening and that are watching that are not A, physically able to go to church. We've covered that. This doesn't count for you. Or B, but listen to this. But there's individuals that they can't find a spirit-filled, doctrinally sound, Bible-believing church where they live. And I'm just going to tell you, I can relate to you, because if here in this, where I'm at, if I could not find a church that was spirit-filled, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, and adhere to the word of God, then I'm not going to bother wasting my time taking my family and going there and sitting under false doctrine or a watered down humanistic motivational speaking, quote unquote, church. Why am I going to waste my time? So I get it, guys. So I'm not slamming this type of, you know, gathering. But what I'm saying is, if you are able, and for all you pastors and leaders who have flocks and you don't like me because you think I'm pulling people out of your church or whatever, I'll remind you that I have said over and over, and all of our listeners that's been with us for years and years and years, they will testify to you what I'm telling you is the truth. And I have told them, if you are able to find a Bible-believing, spirit-filled, doctrinally sound church in your area, in your region, in your community, by all means, go and serve and be a part of that church, serve that pastor, come on, and help that community and be a light and be salt there. Yes, go do that. But again, I understand that's not for everybody. But now we're talking about a whole other ball game, guys. We're talking about metaverse. Again, augmented reality, virtual reality, superficial reality here. And people have used the virus as an excuse to not leave their living rooms, leave their homes, and they can just put on a headset and enter into this virtual world. Said, quote, we have all the functions of how you would think of a physical church, or how you would define a physical church. We're expressing that here in the metaverse. I don't think so. For example, they're doing these virtual churches are performing what they're saying is virtual baptisms. I'm sorry, but you having a headset on in your living room and going through the motions, acting like you're getting dipped in water, is not baptism. I'm sorry, but that is not that. No. That is not baptism, and by biblical definition, it is by far anything close to being water baptized. Quote, when they increase services to every week, The pastor there said it felt like a psychological shift. Quote, "We are no different than any other church, where it's physical or if it's in the metaverse," he said, explaining that they now, quote, "interact with hundreds of people in live worship. Our influence is certainly into the thousands." First-time attendee Garrett Bernal, who identifies as a member of the Church of the Latter-day Saints, applauded and praised the build of the virtual reality church. Quote, "They have 3D illustrations, so they set up verses all over, and they set up 3D illustrations for the verses. Why not just open your Bible and read it?" Really? It's amazing, guys. It's like, remember that, you know, there's a book that you can, in the real world, that you can open up and read the same verses that you can find in the metaverse. Quote, "I was able to go and read verses, like especially these buildings over here. I was able to see a rendering of the verse I was reading, which made scripture much more meaningful for me." Soto believes the future of church going, listen to this, this is a stunning statement. And before you write this guy off, just know that this is happening. This pastor believes the future of church going lies in the metaverse because, quote, "it reaches people who can't physically go to church." Well, so does YouTube streaming. So does Facebook Live. Hello, let me say that again. Live streaming services go into your homes and you don't need to put all this stuff on your face, and you don't need to enter into a fake world, a virtual world, an augmented world. My head's like just going to explode, guys. Another individual said in 2010, she was diagnosed with a neurovascular condition that left her homebound. Quote, "when you become chronically ill and you can no longer participate in what everyone else is doing, slowly but surely people fall away. So it's been just myself, my husband, and our cats." Quote, "VR church changed all of that," she believed. "Suddenly you're empowered again. Suddenly you matter again. Suddenly you're human again," she said. "Suddenly it just feels like you could do anything in the world again, where you were just told over and over and over again you couldn't do anything." Again, it sounds innocent. And look, some of y'all is going to write me off and say that I'm just, you know, overreacting, I'm embellishing things. But listen, guys, have you never seen movies like, you know, the movie I've talked about this before, Bruce Willis, the movie Surrogates, where everybody in the world, it was based on the future and everybody had a surrogate. Everybody had a surrogate. And you could customize your surrogate. You could create that surrogate and it could look like you want it to look like. It could function like you want it to look like. You could upgrade it when you want. And the real you is laying in a chair or lying in a bed or whatever. And you have this machine on your face. This is exactly where we're going. And you just control your surrogate in this virtual world, in the real world, through controlling it with your mind. Let me read another article. Listen to this. This is from Fox5NewYork.com. "How the faithful worship changed dramatically during the pandemic, with many turning to online services as churches closed in-person services for safety, and many are practicing their religion." And they're saying, again, it's spirit-to-spirit interaction. Okay? Now, what is frightening about this. I've said before, and look, I could be wrong, and 5 years from now, 10 years from now, Lord willing, if we're still here and whatever, if the world hasn't gone to hell in a handbasket by then, or if the Lord has not returned, or we've not blown ourselves up or whatever, if this thing is taken off like it says it is, and it didn't go in this direction, I'll be the first to tell you I was wrong. But when I read it in Revelation 13, and I've said this over and over again, I'm always conscious of where we're going, not just today, not just present tense, but future tense. Where is this leading us? Where are we going? And when I read, when I get over to Revelation 13, there at Revelation 13, it talks about a image of the beast. And the word image there in Greek is icon, or it comes from the Greek word icon. It's iconi, where we get the word icon. And what's interesting about this iconi or icon, this image that's created by the people, by the demand of the false prophet to worship the Antichrist, who is the first beast, the Bible says that power will be granted to the false prophet to cause, listen, this image to both speak and live, and cause as many that would not worship the beast to worship it. I believe with all my heart that this will be the mingling of the iron and the clay. This will be some type of transhumanism. It will be some kind of artificial intelligence, robotic technology that will be incorporated, and the people, the manufacturers, the corporations, the whoever they are, and during that time, they will create this. Listen, Elon Musk, we just came out, and I'll try to find this in this broadcast. I'll put it up here, because I didn't plan on putting this up here. It just came to me. Elon Musk is shifting his endeavors. Of course, he's wanting to put the microchip in the brain, but he's also creating a robot humanoid called Optimus. I don't know if you saw that, but we shared that on intimeheadlines.org, intimeheadlines.com. But again, Elon Musk, this is one of the guys that I believe if Revelation 13 was to come to fruition in the next 5 years, I have no doubt that Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, Bezos, all these guys will play a role in creating the image of the beast from the demand of the people. The people will create this because the false prophet will want them to create this thing, and it will be able to speak and live. But listen to this. But according to your Bible, there's going to be a remnant that they're not going to worship this thing. They're going to see this happening. And the Bible says they're going to call this an abomination. And they're going to flee out of Israel. They're going to flee out of Jerusalem. So not everybody's going to be on board with this. Not everybody's going to worship this. Not everybody's going to embrace this. So listen, it's okay. You can laugh at me, ridicule me, mock me, whatever you want to call it, because I'm not embracing the meta, death, the metaverse. You're going to be left out, brother, and you're not going to be able to reach anybody. Well, listen, I believe we're going to be using this platform, maybe not Facebook, but we're working on right now creating a video platform that will stream directly from our website. So I'm not worried about Facebook or whatever these platforms, if they give up the social media aspect as we know it and they shift to this, whatever. Because I believe, listen, we're still going to be a voice, and we're still going to speak to those that are willing to listen. And we're going to use whatever technology we have to use to do that. Secondly, I am perfectly content with continuing to serve and minister at my local church here in Georgia, where I have come alongside with my pastor and I help serve with him. I speak on occasions at our church. I lead a small group that we teach about eschatology and end times and Bible prophecy, where we actually talk to real people, not surrogates, not holograms, not virtual reality, real flesh and blood people that we can lay hands on and we can come into agreement with, and we can pray for them, and we can see tears fall, and we can see laughter, and we can see joy, and we can see their eyes light up. So listen, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Somehow, some way, this wineskin, that wineskin, this way or that way. It doesn't matter. But again, I can't help but to think that all of this is stepping stones, paving the way for the acceptance of what we read about in Revelation 13, and I would say even in the writings of Paul in Thessalonians, where he said that there will be lying signs and wonders. We're getting ready to close this segment, but let me throw you an hypothesis out here, and I want you just to chew on this for a second. What would happen, and I'll tell you what would happen in just a minute, so it's kind of like just hang with me for a second. It's kind of a rhetorical question if you want to be honest. But what would happen if, listen to me, if some quote-unquote pastor started a quote-unquote church in the metaverse and it starts growing, and then all of a sudden he starts healing people, and you guys can't see me on podcast, quote-unquote healing people. All of a sudden, miracles start happening. Now, you've got people, you don't think word would get out? You don't think mainstream media would be all over that? You don't think that this would just circulate all over the place? People are getting healed. Cancer is falling off people in the metaverse. There's people that was diagnosed with diseases and they're being healed in metaverse. There's people that was inoperable cancers and diseases and blood diseases and blood disorders. There were people that were wheelchair. There was people this, all these ailments, diseases, and they were completely made whole and healed in the metaverse. I'm telling you, people by the tens of thousands would flock into this room. And here's the scary part, guys. And I'm going to tell you a hard truth. I know how some of y'all think. You're saying, well, the brother, that's the reason why this can be used by God, because we could see that happen. Well, let me finish. The problem is we have lost all the Bereans. You've got nobody cares anymore about character. Nobody cares about fruit. Nobody cares about reputation anymore. Oh, you don't know how you don't want me to really preach right here. Listen, just because somebody does sensational things and gets the attention of the media and likes to talk a lot and hype things up and get people stirred up and emotionally, many of you think he's a good preacher, even though he's on his second marriage, third marriage, fourth marriage. He's committed adultery. He's cheated. He's lied. He's committed fraud. He's done all these, but it don't matter, right? Because as long as he can preach to you happy and he can stir you up and emotionally, and he can do all these things, that again, we are now in a time where a gift is now more important than character. So here's the problem we have with that. First of all, anybody that tells you we're going to virtually baptize you, that is not baptism. That's a flag right there. And I'd be like, nope, I'm out. Listen, honey, if I've got to baptize myself in a tub, if I've got to get me, somebody in my family to baptize me in a bathtub, I would rather do that than put a stupid headset on and go through the motions and act like I got baptized. That is not baptism. And you can shout me down all you want on that, but it's not water baptism. So we're going to, all these people are going to flock in because I want to get my healing. But they will never examine the individual who's leading this. What about their lifestyle? What about their character? What about their fruit? What about their reputation among the community, among the people? Are they faithful to their wife? Are they faithful to their children? Are they a good husband? You know, the Bible talks about that. You know, a bishop should be, and he mentions the qualifications of that. A deacon should be this and mentions the qualifications of that. But we tossed all that out the window because we want performance, not fruit. We want entertainment and not character. Yeah, I know he's on his sixth wife. He's on his sixth marriage. But he sure can preach the house down. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I know he never mentions the name of Jesus. He never preaches on repentance. He never talks about the cross. He never talks about Jesus is the only way to heaven. But you know what? So-and-so got healed. So it's got to be of God. Hello, lying signs and wonders to deceive even the very elect if it were possible. Guys, listen to me. My heart is heavy today because I am concerned about the direction of the church. I will not be a part of this mess. I don't plan on, I don't care. You can send me all the nasty letters and emails and messages and all that you want and try to convince me all that. It ain't gonna matter. I'm not gonna partake of that. I'm gonna keep doing church the way the Bible, the blueprint of the book of Acts. You want to know how you do church? Go read the book of Acts. That's the foundation. That's the blueprint. It's all there. That's the way I'm going to do it. And anytime you stray off of that, you are endangering yourself, your flock, your people, your family. You are on a road to all kinds of problems because you're veering from, come on. No wonder the Bible says, seek the old paths. Do you know that the Bible talks about that? But we got to have something new, something exciting. Church is boring. It's exciting in the metaverse. It's so colorful. It's so three-dimensional. It's like you're right there. You can see the buildings. I know the scriptures are in my Bible, but they're so much more glamorous when I see them on a monument or I see them on Mount Everest that I'll never be able to climb and never go to. Or they're so glamorous over here and it's so wonderful. We become bored with Christianity. And when people begin to veer from the simplicity of Christ, this is when they begin to go into error, like the Apostle Paul warned to the church of Corinth and the church of Ephesus when he warned, or I'm sorry, the church in Galatia and the church of Corinth, when he said, I fear that if another comes preaching another Jesus, another gospel, or another spirit, that you will embrace it. And guys, it's happening. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Again, if you wish to keep up with it, it's right there. I told you at the beginning of this podcast how to keep up with this. Download our free app. Listen, we're going to pray for you guys real quick. Before we do that, listen, as always, we want to give you an opportunity. Again, we don't manipulate people. We don't control people. We don't do all that nonsense. We're going to preach the gospel free of charge. Our app is free. Our website is free. Our podcasts are free. Everything is free. All we ask is if you believe in what we do, you support what we do, you are encouraged, you're equipped, you're edified on a week-to-week basis, We ask that you just pray about becoming a monthly partner. Why? So you can help us to remain strong, because this is how we're able to function and continue to do what we do. And listen, God will bless you for it. The Bible says when you give, it shall be given back unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In the same measure that you give, it shall be given back unto you. So you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, you can give through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order. I call it the old school OG method. You can do that to making out your check or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, I'm going to pray for you guys real quick, and we're going to end this week of podcast. We'll be back on, Lord willing, on Monday, and we'll kick off next week's podcast with whatever I don't really know what we're going to discuss yet. We'll pray about that over the weekend. We got a lot of stuff going on, so we definitely got topics that we could talk about, but we'll come up with something. I know you guys will join us next week, and we're looking forward to seeing you again. So let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every individual under the sound of my voice right now, listening, watching him by live, by the rebroadcast of this, whatever platform they're watching. Lord, I pray for those that are seeking a spirit-filled, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound church. Maybe you're listening to this, maybe you're watching this, and this has stirred you up, and you said, my Lord, I got to find a place to get involved in and serve in and be a part of. I pray that the Lord would reveal that to you, and where you should be a part of that and be plugged into that act. If it's not possible and you just know that it's not, again, as always, we welcome you to our community, our online community here, where we're going to continue to feed you, equip you. And listen, and maybe you're new and you're watching this and you don't, and I know you're probably feeling me out and you're like, oh, I don't know about this guy, you know, whatnot. Trust me, please just give us some time. And I believe if you know the Bible and you know the word, I have enough confidence to believe that you're going to be blessed, because we stay in the word of God. We stay in the word. We try to stay doctrinally sound as much as possible. And you say, what does that mean? Because listen, if I veer off course, I sit under a pastor. He's going to correct me. He's going to get me in line. That's why we need each other, guys. We need accountability. But I believe you'll be blessed by this ministry. You'll be fed. You'll be equipped. And I pray that, you know, if this is the place you call home, we welcome you. And, you know, and we're going to do our best to bless you and help you and disciple you the best we can. But again, I implore you, if it is possible, find you a home church, get plugged in and serve that church. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more so as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord. And it's approaching. It's coming. So, Father, I ask that you would strengthen the hearts and the lives of those listening today. Encourage our faith. Strengthen our hope. Strengthen our capability to remain strong in you. Help us to be on fire for you. Keep those wicks trimmed. Keep those lamps burning. Keep that oil filled in that lamp, so that we may not be caught off guard, but be ready and be watchful and be alert to know that the day of the Lord is approaching. And we know that when we begin to see all these things coming to pass, that you said to look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing near. And I pray this today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys. Listen, have a great weekend. Stay safe and stay blessed. And we will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.